Please turn in your Bibles this morning to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Have you ever done something and you wish you hadn't? When we refinanced our mortgage, I remember seeing a form in there that we had to sign. It was called Notice of Right to Cancel. And after you sign all the documentations, maybe it takes about an hour to sign everything, if for any reason you decide that you do not want to go through with this mortgage loan, even though you've already signed everything, you have 3 days to change your mind. That's the law. And sometimes we wish that we could have done things differently in life. Sometimes, and this really doesn't apply for us refinancing our mortgage, but it applies to other things, other purchases perhaps. In America, many people buy things, items, and after they bring them home and use them, and the newness wears off, and then they wish that they didn't spend the money on it. So they might have what's called buyer's remorse. Sometimes people rack up credit cards for various reasons. Sometimes it's to buy trinkets. Sometimes it's to go on vacations. Look at all this. I can do whatever I want, get whatever I want, and I won't worry about tomorrow. So they get themselves in credit card debt, and that has consequences, doesn't it, down the road? It can really make your future difficult. What we're talking about today is really decisions that we make in our lives based on our emotions rather than based on what God really wants for us, how He really wants us to be led. He doesn't want us to be led by our emotions. He wants us to be led by His Spirit, by His Word. And yet we live in a world that seems to be basing most of its decisions on their emotions, on how they feel, what they want. All of advertising is directed to our wants. And so as believers, we have to have some sense of temperance when it comes to everything that bombards us for our attention, for our money. Moses was a man who, of course, we know he was faithful to God, but he had moments of lapses. He was leading the children of Israel, as you know, through the wilderness. He brought them across the Red Sea, or led them, I should say, as they followed the Lord, the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. God did a lot of miraculous events to guide the children of Israel to the promised land. And as they got to the border, they decided that it was too large a feat for them to enter and take the land. So what God did was He told them, okay, you don't want to trust me, you don't want to believe in me, you can just wander around for another 40 years and until your whole generation is gone. And then Israel will be brought into the promised land. So they wandered around and, you know, they complained about everything here and there. It must have been difficult to be nomads, just traveling around in the wilderness, setting up camp. And then Moses says, okay, it's time to move on, pack up, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know, just going around in the wilderness, wandering. And children were born. God provided manna for them to eat and quail. And yet, it was a difficult life. And our lives, of course, are not as difficult as theirs were. In fact, our lives today aren't as difficult as it was 100 years ago. We have very easy lives compared to most of history and compared to many people in the world today. But we do have problems, and Moses had a problem. The Israelites were complaining again. We have no water to drink. And so, with a heart that followed after God, he went into the tabernacle and asked God to help in this situation. And when we encounter a problem in our lives, that's important for us to do, to remember to go to God. Don't wait and try and figure out things in your own might and then use God as a last resort. Go to God first. And that's what Moses did. And God told him to take the rod. You know, the rod was stored in the tabernacle. And take it and then speak to the Israel. Speak to the rock. And water will gush out. And the cattle will be fed and the people will have water to drink. And Moses went back to the people. He gathered them all together. And instead of telling them what God said, he struck the rock twice with the rod. Let's read verse 7, Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So Moses, in a faithful way, went to the Lord seeking guidance. God told him what must be done. Moses went back. He knew what God said. He said, God said, just speak to the rock before the congregation. And they'll have water. So he knew what needed to be done. And yet, I can imagine as he gathered in front of the people there, they were possibly jeering at him. Why'd you bring us here? We would have been better off if we stayed in Israel, in Egypt. We would be better if we were left for dead. You brought us in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing here. There are no vines, no figs, no pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. And maybe Moses responded emotionally, because it sounds like he did when he said, ye here now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And what displeased God the most about that was that God was not given the credit. Their attention was not brought to the Lord God for providing them water. It was as if they, Moses and Aaron, did this out of their own might somehow. There was no attribution made to God, and that's why God was displeased. And that little event in Moses' life, this was 38 years after they left Egypt. 38, and they were only going until 40 years, and then they would enter the promised land. He had 2 years to go, 38 years into it, and he makes a decision that prevents him from entering the promised land because of his emotions. We all have problems that we deal with in life. And what we can learn from this example of Moses is that there are proper ways to think about our problems. There are proper ways that we can think about the problems we face in life. Moses was not thinking in a proper way. He was thinking in an emotional way, in a way that was disobedient to God. It was not a good way to think about his problems. Well, what is the proper way to think about a problem? We all have problems. We all will face more problems in this life because life is filled with problems. A man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. According to Job, we have trouble. So, what is the proper way to think about life's problems? Number one, we can count on having problems. We can count on having them. A man in his 70s once asked me, they were talking about how fast time seems to go. As you get older, I guess, the days go by quickly. And there were a couple of younger gentlemen there. And it seemed like most of the older guys, retirement age, said life goes by fast. And we said, well, doesn't go quite so fast, and kind of feels like we're wandering in the desert and waiting to enter the promised land. And life must have been slow for the Israelites with all their difficulties. My perfect idea, if we're talking about counting on having problems, is I like to keep everything organized. I like everything to have a place, everything to be in its proper spot. Of course, it never is, and I don't have a lot of time to devote to getting things organized the way I'd like it. Went to the store a few months ago and I bought a bunch of little shoebox size bins. They were only $1 each, and put a lot of the knickknacks in there, and I labeled each box. I like to keep everything organized. And in my finances, too, I have a fund for everything. I have a fund for, you know, the mortgage and the oil, the wood, not the taxes, because that's in the mortgage. Everything down to 84 cents a week for Magic Jack telephone. Everything has a spot. And even as much as I try to organize things, there's always something that comes as a surprise. Maybe there's a big bill to fix the car. Well, I have to have an emergency fund for that. So I try as best I can to keep everything under control. And don't we like that in our lives? We like things to be under control. We don't like there to be problems that we don't foresee, situations that crop up that we're not planned for. We like to have everything planned out. We want to have not only a plan B, but we want a plan C and a plan D, so that all of life's troubles can be controlled. But life isn't always predictable, is it? And although Moses had a history of hearing these groanings from the people, it seems like he wasn't prepared for this dilemma. He got emotional about it. Sometimes situations occur in our lives that we cannot control. I think of Polly's cousin. The tornado blew through town and just completely destroyed their house. I mean, imagine that. 1 minute you're sitting in your easy chair and watching Jeopardy, and the next minute your house is gone. That's something that you don't prepare for. Now, maybe you have insurance, but you're not emotionally prepared to deal with something like that. You're not expecting to get cancer, and yet so many people do get cancer. That's something beyond our control. So there are problems that prevent us from having everything perfectly in its box. Even our thoughts are unpredictable. Our wills, our emotions. I think of Peter. Jesus said that, you know, nobody's going to stand with me tonight. You wait and see. And Peter said, "Although all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." And we know the story that the cock crew thrice, and Peter was confronted. "Don't you know this man? We saw you with him." And he denied the Lord three times. And the Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly because even his own will was unpredictable. We can count on having problems. That's the proper way to think about problems. Don't think that you're never going to have problems. Count on having them. And if you can expect problems in your lives, then you can try to, as best you can, prepare for them. And if not, you have to respond properly to the problems. So count on having problems. And then a second way to think about life's problems is to expect consequences for your wrong responses to the problems. Expect there to be consequences for your bad decisions. Now, God didn't tell Moses, look, Moses, I know I know that you want to provide water for your people, and so I'm going to provide that to you. Just speak to the rock and give me the credit, and I'll give the people water. And God did not tell Moses, and if you don't do that, if you don't follow what I say exactly as I say it, then you know what? You're not going into the promised land. He didn't say that. He just told him to be faithful. He just told Moses to go and do this, take this action. And Moses didn't follow instructions and later learned that there are consequences. You won't bring them into the land. After 38 years, serving God, sacrificing his life, he could have lived a very easy life in Egypt, guiding the Israelites through the desert all those years. And at his old age, he ruined it. And, you know, we're never too old to ruin blessings in our lives. It's all about how you respond to the problems. So we can expect consequences for wrong responses. Expect consequences. Sometimes I think, how life would have been different, maybe easier, if Marianne and I made different decisions together. If we just had one floor instead of two, even, life would have been easier in some ways. But we have to face the consequences of having a second floor. And we have to face the consequences of making decisions, no matter what they may be in our lives, that have led us down a certain path. And sometimes we just can't go back. Sometimes it's too late. Sometimes we're too old. Sometimes the opportunities have passed. And we just can't go back. And Moses couldn't go back. He couldn't undo what was done. When you have a difficult relationship with someone, and maybe things were said or events occurred that created a lot of animosity, maybe a lot of hurt inside. Sometimes in time, with time and repentance, those wounds can be healed, but the scars may last for life. If you ever had an operation, maybe you have a scar from it. It stays with you for life. It doesn't hurt anymore. There's no open wound, but the scar is there. And Moses' scar was that he could not enter the promised land. He was brought right to the brink of it. He could see it. He could almost taste it. But he was not allowed to enter in. And there he died, looking across. So, what's the proper way to think about life's problems? Well, first, count on having them, and secondly, expect there to be consequences if you don't respond properly to the problems. And thirdly, recognize God when he solves the problems. Moses received the solution. He went to God and God told him what to do. Problem solved, right? And maybe you know what to do. Maybe you know what's right. You're armed with God's word. You're armed with his Holy Spirit, and he tells you what must be done. And yet, in the heat of the moment, when it comes right down to it, you don't do what you know you should. And Moses, he let his emotions take over. You know, life really is a test of faithfulness. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" A faithful man who can find? Recognize God when he solves your problems. Remember the leper. 10 of them were healed. And only one went back to thank God for healing him. You should be that one leper who recognizes God for what he's done in your life. That was Moses' mistake. Didn't recognize God. So the bottom line is that in our problems, we need to have hearts that gravitate towards our Heavenly Father. Because if we act emotionally, we often will face consequences for making bad decisions. Sometimes the problems that come up are beyond our control. If they're within our control, that's fine. We're planned for that, aren't we? Sometimes we're caught a little off guard, but we plan as best we can. But our emotions, we can't plan on that. We can't plan on how we'll respond sometimes. And life is full of problems. So, if we know that up front, we can trust that the Bible is true, that life has a lot of problems, and if we know that God wants us to be faithful, and that often these problems are a test for us, or they're to instill patience within us. They cause us to grow. In his grace, we can learn from our mistakes. And yet there are some decisions that we make that have lasting consequences that cannot be changed. And those are what we must be careful about. Very careful. because you don't want to make a decision, a bad decision that can basically ruin your life. Now God, in His mercy, He never gives us more than what we can handle, and He loves us in good times and bad, and yet there are consequences to decisions that we may make that are outside of His will. So based on that passage, that's the proper way to think about problems. Count on having them. Expect there to be consequences to making bad decisions. And to recognize God for solving them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy word and for the example that Moses is. For leading the Israelites out of Egypt so many years ago, for restoring them to their land in modern times. Two thousand years. Since You were here, Lord, several thousand more of humanity before then. And Lord, we thank You for showing us today that the consequences for Israel led to the wandering, and yet after they entered the promised land, their unfaithfulness led to their captivity again. And now Israel is a nation again, 2,000 years later. What a long consequence, Lord. And we pray that You help us to make decisions in our lives that don't lead to those types of difficulties. For we all want to live our lives with freedom, mobility, and not be encumbered by yokes which were caused by our own wrongdoing. So help us, Lord, in those pivotal moments of life where one way will lead you to smile and the other to cry. Help us, Lord, to make You smile. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.